when I was still in high school, I was not a very good student, not exactly a troublemaker, but I was definitely a little rebellious. But one thing I did have is that I had a passion for math, and I was playing around with certain things they were teaching us in class on number theory, and started noticing certain strange patterns that were actually not described in any book I was reading at the time. So I started exploring it, and basically, I think in 2 years later, I wrote my first math paper. And that actually got me to Princeton because my grades weren't all that high to begin with. But the fact that I was writing all these papers, I was winning all these awards for this paper and so on, got me to the university. So after university, I've left math in that pure academic way, and I started using applied math in finance.
And what sort of thing did you do in finance?
I was figuring out using mathematical methods to price very complex options on interest rate products. That's what I did in the beginning, and then I started trading. I became a trader for Deutsche Bank later on.
What, an evil trader?
No, I was a trader, yeah. I was a trader for years.
So how did you make the journey from that line of work, which some people, not just in Occupy, might consider to be part of the problem, to doing what you do now?
Well, the journey started actually when I was still in university. You have to keep in mind, when I was in university, I was already an anti-war activist. And I became very disenchanted with the left-wing movement after about a year of this, just because I saw so much division. Obviously, we weren't getting anywhere because there was absolutely no unity. So that's why pretty much I left activism at the time. And this is one of the reasons I actually went to Wall Street, because I thought we could actually, make a lot of money and use the resources to change the system from the inside.
But you've gone from, at one stage, being a trader, presumably earning quite a bit of money at Deutsche Bank, and now, I think I'm right in saying, you live in a squat with your family.
It's actually not a squad. It's like a legal squad. But the reality is I actually have enough to get by.
What do you think people should know about what Occupy stands for? There may be people who find it sort of interesting, but they don't feel they understand it well enough and feel it's peripheral and might want to become more involved, but still don't quite have a handle on what it might mean for them. There's not a simple answer, is there?
Let me explain you the best way I understand it. And actually, I'm sure if you ask every single participant in this movement, you're probably going to get a bit of a different answer. So the most important thing about this movement, it is pretty much a movement that kind of coalesces itself around fundamental human values, human ideas of equality, of this very fundamental idea of mutual respect. And the reason we have this whole idea of mutual respect is because in order for us to come to some kind of a consensus on the future, we need to have a debate. So we can actually get together in these squares and listen to one another and have some kind of a process where we come up with a consensus.
And does the movement not need significantly more numbers? You want to get to a sort of critical mass of humanity in order for the revolution to happen.
We believe that we actually have the numbers. Just because people are not in the parks doesn't mean they're not in the movement. Not everyone can go and spend all the time in the park because people have kids to take care of. Some people still are lucky enough to have jobs. I think we kind of unite everyone in the sense that we do speak about all of these fundamental human values. So as this thing grows, it's going to snowball. However, what we're seeing now, coming from a lot of governments, is concerted efforts to basically terrorize the movement, to label them terrorists. Would nothing could be farther from the truth. We're peaceful citizens just trying to have a debate.
But the debate will ultimately, will it not, you tell me, have to come up with answers. It's one thing for everyone to be able to speak and make their voice heard and for the transparency to bring greater honesty and openness. But for those people who are looking for answers, those people on the outside of the broad movement, they will want to look to you to say, right, we agree, we don't think the current system works, it stinks, it's broken, but where is the way forward? And I just wonder how long you think it will take to begin to come up with something that answers those fundamental questions.
It's happening as we speak, actually, and people need to plug in. There's a global website. It's called takethesquares.net. And if you go on it, there's a way to basically set up an account and plug in, and there's a million working groups in there. Not a million, but a lot of working groups that are focusing on different issues, which are open. Anyone can join, and people are actually discussing specific issues, be there issues of borders, be there issues of income inequality, be there issues of environmental issues. And they're coming up with consensus proposals, which will be a way to take into the General Assemblies worldwide.
And how long do you think that process might ultimately take?
Well, the thing is, the process, it's a continuing process. It's going to continue on and on and on, because what happens is we come up with a solution, with a proposal, and then it gets we reach consensus on it, and then we start executing it.
Right, but how long do you think it'll take to reach that that global consensus, or a consensus in individual countries or regions, which is replicated around the world?
There are actions being undertaken right now by the movement which have passed through this consensus process.
But is there anything yet that you've seen that would, for example, I mean, if people believe the banking system doesn't work, is there any concrete proposal to say, well, look, here is a fairer way of...
Of course. There's been a huge movement that globally, actually, decided we have to start pulling money out of the big banks and into the community-run organizations. Now, every country is different, and I'm not an expert, actually, in how community-run banks work in every country. And in the United States, we basically started a campaign to get people to move money out of Chase Manhattan, out of Citibank, out of Bank of America, into what's called in the United States credit unions. Think of it as a bank collective.
Do you think 2011 honestly will go down in history as the year that the world began to change in a very fundamental way, thanks to these movements we're talking about? What do you think the chances are that in 5 or 10 years' time, people will look back on 2011 and say, well, that was curious, wasn't it? That was an oddity. I wonder why that happened, and why did it fizzle out? What went wrong? Do you know what I mean? Do you honestly in your heart believe that this is the start of something, the scale of which and the impact of which we can't even imagine?
Well, it's a tough question. Personally, you ask me what I think, what I hope. If you're going to ask me what I think right now we're facing a very strong physical challenge in that there is an attempt to label this movement as something that's that's against public order, that's something that's very scary. So we see an actual physical threat against stopping this debate in terms of, if they're going to, assassinate or put in jail 30% of the population like Stalin did, we might have a problem. Beyond that, I firmly hope and believe that if we're not basically all killed by the governments, what will happen is 2012 will be so big, 2011 will look like sort of like a little exercise.
You don't really think you're going to be killed?
Me personally?
Well, what do we say? We might all be killed by the government.
Well, I think at this point, when they're beginning to pass these laws, which can label anybody terrorist, and they begin to see us as an actual threat, if you see how they've treated us when they evicted us from the camps, it was very brutal, and it's very lucky that no one has died. But we're obviously seeing a situation where they're willing to use violence to enforce the status quo by any means necessary.